It will take something. It'll be hard. There may be tears involved. But in the end, it's going to be sweet, because there's going to be joy, a lot of joy, when we carry the sheaves. And then giving, it speaks for itself. Okay, so the first thing is, we must really be visible. And you, we are witnesses. When are we witnesses in church? No. Everybody here knows the Lord to a certain degree. We are have to be visible in the world. Jesus says, you are in the world, but not of the world. We must be in the world. Must not be afraid of the world. You know, when many years ago when I joined a charismatic church, I knew a new type of Christian. And I'm very straightforward this morning because this is things that I noticed. You know, I was in the world, they'll say, and now I serve the Lord. I've broken off all relationships with unsaved people, and I saved the Lord. Serve the Lord how? By being in church twice on a Sunday, very long services, 3 hours altogether. I go to cell every week, never miss out on a cell, and I have braai with my Christian friends. Now I serve the Lord. You know what? You're not serving the Lord. You're serving religion. You're not serving the Lord. You know, I'm going to tell you now a testimony in a moment. And I just want to tell you, the second thing we must do is, we all have a testimony. Can we have the next one? We all, this is so beautiful. I'm going to read this for you. It says, I read this, next one please. I read this in Isaiah the other day. No, can you just go on to the next one? No, you're going back now all the time. You're going back. You just go forward. I read this scripture in Isaiah. And this morning as we prayed, Bianca said, I wasn't there when she prayed, apparently she said, we're not a one-size-fits-all. And can we just move on? Next one. Yes. Different crops are harvested differently. Just listen how beautiful the word of God is. A heavy sledge is never used to thresh black cumin, rather it is beaten with a light stick. A threshing wheel is never rolled on cumin, instead it is beaten lightly with a flail. Grain for bread is easily crushed, so he doesn't keep on pounding it. He threshes it under the wheels of a cart, but he doesn't pulverize it. You know, we tend to use sledgehammers on everybody. The word of God over your head in the gospel. That's a sledgehammer. While you have to use a light stick or a flail. And then the beautiful verse 29. The Lord of heaven's armies is a wonderful teacher. And he gives the farmer great wisdom. God gives us wisdom how to deal with each individual person. But you know what? While I was reading that scripture, the Lord said, you know what? There's a universal language, which there is a size that fits all. And that's love. Love fits all. Love fits all. You can't make a mistake by loving somebody. Right, the next one. So the second way we can do what we're supposed to do in the world is by having a testimony. Now, a testimony, people think that is something that happened 25, in my case, 55 years ago, when you gave your heart to the Lord, and now you write it on a piece of paper, and I'm ready to share my testimony. You know what I want to tell you? There's nothing wrong with that. But you must have a fresher testimony, like 55 years. I'm going to share, you know what the testimony is? Is how I experienced God's love yesterday, or this morning, or heard his voice. That's it. And I'm well known in this church as somebody who loves testimonies, but that's why I love testimonies. Because when I testify, I tell people of how I experience God's love. Now, 13 years ago, we moved into this house we're currently staying, and across me the road, another guy built a house. It's still very early. I'll be 10 minutes more. And he was a German. He was a typical German appearance, you know, and very straightforward and got you to size with his looks and his words. And then slowly I heard or I gathered that he was suffering from cancer. But he had bad cancer to a point where they actually said there was no treatments left. I didn't know that. I just knew he had cancer. So, belonging to the Lighthouse at that stage, I was a very faithful member, and I did what many of the saved people do. I went to church twice a Sunday. And then the Lord started addressing me, and he said, listen here, tonight you're not going to church. Tonight, you're going to visit that guy across the street. Lord, what does he do there? He's so different from me. The Lord said, just go there. So I went there. You know what I did? I started sharing to him about healing testimonies. One morning, we became friends. He was in church here last Sunday. You saw him here. We prayed for him. Some of you prayed for us. One day he went to me with to CBMC, and that morning as we left, he said, Johan, I've got a terrible pain in my neck, and I'm so afraid the cancer has come back. They can't do anything more for me. So that morning at CBMC, Philip was there. We said, is there anybody that will agree with me? We want to lay hands on this guy and just pray for him, for his healing. It's 13 years later. He's never had a relapse. So when Rihanna said she's going to visit her sister now in Joburg, in Artis, he came to our house and he said, his wife is also away at the moment. Can I have that picture again? Here it is. And he brought this to the house and he says, Johan, I've always had this desire to cycle Cederberg cycle route, 170 kilometers, climb 3 Table Mountains in 3 days. I'm struggling with my feet at the moment, so I thought, Lord, is it really from you? So the Lord said, yes. So that's what I did last week. I went 170 kilometers through Gath on a mountain bike through the Cederberg. You know, we are at a different level with our friendship. We shared lots of things. We laughed, we prayed, we trusted God. We didn't cry together because we are cowboys. Cowboys don't cry. Okay, so that's the route that we did. I want to show you a few pictures. How God came through. That's the top of the first pass. 8-cake pass. You know, as I went down that pass, you know what happened? My front shock went. You can ask Philip. How can you do those roads without a front shock? I had no front shock, and I've got weak shoulders that get sore when I do that on a bike. So I prayed on the, and I said, that evening we prayed for my bike's shock. I said, God, please help Johan. He must have some sort of shock in his bike. Anyway, next. You know what? A week ago, the temperatures in the Cederberg was daily 35. This week, we didn't have one day above 25. The Lord gave a column of cloud above us. You see that? One evening, next one, in Krom River, he says, Johan, why is everything looking so red outside? We went out. We had the pillar of light, of fire. They said it's one of the most beautiful sunsets they've ever seen in the Cedar Mountain, Krom River. Next. We saw the most beautiful scenery, glorifying God, thanking God for his beauty of everything. Next one. Yes, there I went down that road, Philip, without a front shock. Can you believe that? Anyway, next. We came to this little house one day after we've been on the bike for 10 hours because we struggled with the loose sand and the rocks and the stuff. As we entered the house, a terrible storm broke loose and it rained kata en hona gereen. But we were spared that. God put us safely into the little house before it happened. Next one. Yes, and this is one of the hills we had to go out one evening. And we just trusted that word. Those who wait on the Lord shall receive new strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. We quoted that. We actually spoke it out as we're going up that hill. You know what I want to tell you, why I'm telling you all of this, not to show how good and special I am, to tell you that if you listen to God, hear his voice, connect with people, he will come through for you. And you must never forget that again. Even if you have to remember some of these pictures, remember, as you are faithful and obedient to God in this area, he will come through for you. Okay, next one. Can we have the next one? Okay, we're back to Ephesians again. Just look at this word, and it's so beautiful. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. This is now, Christians, living within you as you trust in him. Listen here, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high His love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves, that it is so great that you will never see the end of it, fully know or understand it. And so at last, you will be filled up with God Himself. You know what? I want to say one thing about this scripture. You can only share the love that you've experienced. You can't share love. If your love for God is that deep, that is what you'll share. Because anything more than that will be religion. It will not be from God, not from His Spirit. And that's why we must grow in God. As Stephen said this morning when he stood in front here, we must let that root go down deep, 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 deep into the love of God. Because the more we have experienced that love, the more we will be able to share it with the world out there who is in a burning building, who can't jump because there's no net at the bottom. Right. And I'm going to end off with this. There's a third very powerful way of sharing God with people. And again, it's not a tract or a system or a program. You know, I've been through E3, CBMC, Alpha, all those things, and they have a place. Don't get me wrong. They have a place. But we're not all called for the amp van, evangelist. Nee. But we are all witnesses. That's the difference. We are all witnesses. And when I say you declare Jesus to people, God, as you mix with people, God shows you things like He showed my neighbor's cancer. Nee? But it may be somebody in a very difficult financial position, or it may be whatever. But remember, God is everything. So you go in that situation, you don't give a tract and you don't share the gospel necessarily. You just say, you know what? I know somebody was in the same situation that you, like you, it might even be yourself. And God did this miracle for me and whatever, and God can do the same for you. And would you mind me praying for you? Now, again, I was thinking of people who we tend to think we have to go and do it in Thailand or those places. But you don't have to. Don't start there. You start with your neighbor. Or the guy in the gym who's limping when he sees his leg is sore, whatever. And I know Shofar is a wonderful church in this regard. I know they do it. You know how I know they do it? My neighbor in Stanford had a knee replacement, and then he got infection in his knee. I didn't prepare to say this, but it just dropped in my spirit. He went to Stellenbosch to see the guy there, and while he was in the foyer of the hospital, two young guys came to him and prayed with him. And the one guy said, please, God, heal the infection in this man's knee. He came to see me in Stanford, and he told me the story. And then he said, Johan, how did that guy knew I had an infection? Because not even the doctor knew it at that stage. And you know what? I could tell him why. And why, can you imagine what effect that had on this man? The two people coming, strangers. I said, what did they look like? He said, they look like rugby players. And their T-shirts on with the table bound. Oh, I said, I know exactly where they are. They're from Shofar. They're from my church. I was so proud. Because here were two guys, young guys, who were actually doing what God has called them to do. Yeah, you know, and what I've told you about my neighbor across the street, old Gat. That's all I did. I declared Jesus to him as healer. And God is, the next scripture I want to read for you, Acts 14:3. You know, whenever we preach Jesus boldly, He comes through with signs and wonders. I'm going to read this. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of God. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miracles, signs, and wonders. You know what? God is not playing games with us. And His heart is with the world. And if you really heard God's voice regarding somebody, and you're obedient, and you do what He says, He will come through for you. You know, signs and wonders are not, I can't say they're not for here, but we hardly see it in church. But you know where we'll see it? We'll see it outside. The moment we start mixing with the world, the moment we start engaging with the world, God will come through with signs and wonders. Okay, we finished. I just want to read you. I got such a revelation with this scripture. I just want to read it to you next. This is, the fourth thing is we must expect the impossible. And you know, this morning, Bernard prayed and he said, Lord, remove the veil from their minds. You know, these people are veiled. They can't see God's goodness or kindness or his promises. So we do pray for them. We do pray for our neighbors. We do pray for unsaved people because that's the way God works and he removes the veil. And then we must just remember we can't save anybody. We can't save anybody. Only God can save. Only God the Father can draw. Only the Holy Spirit can convict. Only God can save. But we can do the rest. We can prepare the way for God to act. Now we'll end off with this scripture. This is the last part of Ephesians 3. And I must confess to you that up till today, I tended to use this scripture out of context. I often use this scripture when I was looking at things I was trusting God for. But you know, this scripture is in the context of salvation. That's why you'll see it. It follows on the two previous scriptures which we read. Now glory be to God who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. May he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. So what the scripture says, don't you worry whether somebody can be saved or not. That's not our problem. I once said, a person said he's challenging the people to start praying for the most unsavable person that you know. I mean, that's just one way of doing it. God can save anybody. Nobody is beyond salvation. Nobody. And some of the people he saves, the most interesting people, becomes the most powerful people in his kingdom eventually. I'm just thinking of Todd White, this hockey player, which was at the Lighthouse last week at the conference. I mean, dreadlocks. You know, you must see him to believe. And God saved him miraculously. And God is using him powerfully and mightily. So God can save anybody. And we must not put limits to God, who we can save and who we cannot save. All that we have to do is to witness. And, just to pray for them. That's all. Thank you. I want us all to stand. Because I believe in my heart, God wants to do a different thing in us, in our small groups, in our lives, in our congregation. Because this message is as much for me as it is for each one of you, and it's for each one of us. You know, what we need to fill these empty chairs, as Pietri said this morning, and somebody else, I think it was you, who said, we don't want to attract people from other churches to come here and be happy here, you know, because there's something they didn't like at the other church. You know, we welcome everybody here. Yeah? We're the body of Christ. But what we're interested in, really interested in, to see, is to see the world coming to Christ, the lost being saved. And I'm just going to pray for this morning for the ability that God will give us the ability. And if you really pray that with your heart, God is going to hear that. And we're going to see a change. Okay. Lord, we just, as we started this morning, we thank you for our own salvation, Lord. And then you gave us that amazing picture, Lord, of people on that high building that's on fire. And there's no net, Lord, to jump. There's no place, there's no catchment, nothing to catch them. And Lord, we want to be that catchment area. Lord, we want to be the net, the chauffeur congregation. That there's such small holes, Lord, that nobody will be able to fall through and to damage or go lost, but will be saved. And Lord, we know that that net is built by cords of love. Lord, cords of love that makes it so strong, Lord, so endurable, that it can stand any weight. Lord, even the biggest person falling down will not reach the ground, will be caught by these cords of love. And Lord, this morning we just pray that you'll give us a new understanding of your love for each one of us. Because we can only share, Lord, what we have experienced. And therefore we ask, Lord, won't you in a new way, Lord, just baptize us with love. Love for the lost. Love for our unsaved neighbors. Love for the world, Lord. And that we will see this church filling up with people who've come to know your kindness and your goodness and your promises and your treasures, Lord, through us. And Lord, we don't have any power to do this, Lord. It's only through your Spirit that we can do this. And we ask that you'll use each one here this morning mightily, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before you run away, I want to use this opportunity. Does anybody know somebody who's not saved? Like, can I put the hands up of somebody that knows somebody that's not saved? Okay, that very person that God is now laying on your heart, turn two to one another and please pray for that person's salvation now. Because God has just shown us his heart, his love, and his purpose for that person. Let's not leave this opportunity for God to work in us the willingness and the desire to want to see that and actually partake in it. So please just turn two to one another. And just pray for that person. People are dying. Please.